live from the...
Your Raw recap show here on VOC Nation Worldwide. We are talking about the Raw after Money in the Bank. The number to call in is 855 VOC Radio. That's 855-862-7234. Tonight on our panel, we have Stro, the Maestro of Wrestling, former WCW superstar and current Trans South Wrestling Heavyweight Champion. Stro, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great.
Cool. And we have from here on VOC Nation, Compton After Dark, 11:30 p.m. Sunday nights here on VOC Nation, Ryan Mays. How are you doing tonight, Ryan?
I'm doing great, man. You know, I could listen to some more of that song.
I was texting Dean Compton to figure out how you turn off the music because I was potting it down, but nothing was turning down. So maybe we'll get that figured out before I have to play the outro. Well, I'm Chris Fox, and I'm the host on this week's edition. We're talking about tonight's Raw, which was the Raw after Money in the Bank. There's quite a few things that happened on tonight's Raw. We had some turns. We had some swerves. Well, let's open up with what opened up the show. We had Stephanie and Triple H coming out. John Cena came out. They told him that he's on the cover of the new video game, 2K15, and that the main event for Battleground is going to be Cena and Reigns versus Kane and it's four-way, Cena, Reigns, Kane, and Orton. The main event for tonight was the tag between Cena, Reigns, and Kane and Orton. My question is, they were mad about Vicky getting Reigns in the ladder match, and now they just stick Reigns in the four-way. So, Stro, how are you feeling? Do you how you feel about this main event for the next pay-per-view coming up?
Well, I mean, it should be interesting with you know, John Cena now being the new heavyweight champion, and, you know, we have Kane, who's pretty much the bounty hunter, now, if you will, of the authority, as we saw apparent from last night's pay-per-view with him and Randy Orton and working together along with him helping Seth Rollins win Money in the Bank in the ladder match. And then you have, of course, you know, Randy Orton also in the mix as well as the Roman Reigns. And, you know, it was kind of a mystery to me, just like you, wondering the story with, you know, why would they want to put Roman Reigns in the four-way when they won them out of the Money in the Bank. But, you know, I'm excited, and I'm hoping this turn out to be a good main event for the pay-per-view. Well, special event, rather.
So, Ryan, what are you thinking about your new heavyweight world WWE heavyweight champion being John Cena for the 15th time?
Man, I thought they hit a panic button. Like, they were just, you know, they had to give it to somebody. They might as well put it back on Cena. I could not be less excited about the return to the status quo. But, I mean, I guess there wasn't too much more they could do about it. You know, Reigns is pretty green. So I know he's shed the belt yet, but as far as his program goes, he's the only guy I'm even remotely interested in.
Yeah, well, from what I hear, like, the rumblings going on, it sounds like it's going to be Brock Lesnar returning at SummerSlam, so maybe this was going to be just a transitional championship for Cena, maybe, I don't know, unless they plan to have Cena beat Brock Lesnar again, which I hope not, because, I don't know, I want to see Brock Lesnar hold the championship just for a little bit and get some defense, get some defenses in. But, yeah, that was the opening segment. We had Lana and Rusev come out doing their anti-American pro-Russian promo. And we had Jack Swagger and Zeb Coulter come out in a face turn. And the crowd was just totally into them. They were doing their We the People stuff. Stro, what are you thinking? Is this kind of odd that now Swagger and Coulter are going to be switched sides and now are going to be on the face team?
Well, I mean, you got the very impressive Rusev. I mean, a very strong individual, and has looked strong up to now with his wins. And Lana, who's, I mean, great on the mic, and then also with Zeb Coulter, who's also great on the mic. And you have Jack Swagger, who, you know, we all know is, you know, is a great athlete, and this could be, you know, an awakening, if you will, of Swagger, in which, you know, he gets like a chance, you know, of life, you know, involved in something really big. So I'm pretty excited about the Swagger Rusev rivalry.
I really dug it. I'm a big fan of Zeb Coulter, you know, Dutch Mantel. So to see them, you know, do a face turn, I was really excited about that. Ryan, how about you? I think you mentioned to me like Swagger and Coulter are kind of xenophobic characters, but at least they're American. There are xenophobic characters that are going to be up against the evil Russians. Are you looking forward to this this program?
There are horrible races, so you got to root for them. Yeah, I mean, look, the gimmick is what it is, but I like Dutch, I like Swagger a lot, and I don't think even they were expecting the response they got from the crowd here tonight. I mean, that might have been, you know, the hottest the crowd was. Even with Jericho's turn, I think maybe the USA Swagger versus Russo might have been the hottest the crowd was the whole night.
Yeah, they were totally into him with the – I think that may have been the first Let's Go Swagger chant in history. On the opposite end, though, we had Bo Dallas, and he was supposed to do his moment of silence, which I'm pretty sure that they were trying to milk the boner chants that that Daniel Bryan started on the pre-show for the pay-per-view yesterday. But I don't know if it's just people didn't watch the pre-show, but he did his moment of silence, and the crowd just sat on their hands. They were just not into it. And Bo, to his credit, he just sat there in silence for the entire minute. So, Stro, Bo's been around for a little while now. What are your feelings towards him?
Well, Bo is getting a lot of heat as of late, and you know, with the minute of silence, that was pretty interesting. So, and you know, but like you mentioned, the little segment with him and Daniel Bryan on the kickoff leading up to the Money in the Bank last night was pretty interesting, and I'm hoping maybe when Daniel Bryan does return, that they can like pick up where they left off and do something with it.
Yeah, Bryan mentioned on the pre-show yesterday about how he's still going to be out for a while, and there's talk of him maybe needing a second surgery, and if that's the case, he may be out, I don't know, maybe until next year, perhaps. So, yeah, this is just horrible timing for him. Ryan, do you think Bryan will be able to sustain this this hiatus for a while? Do you think that that people will still be into him when he returns? Or do you think that this is really going to hurt him in the long run?
It's hard to say, man. I mean, after a certain amount of time, yeah, it's, you know, he needs to come back. But obviously any kind of injury is terrible. I don't wish that on anyone. But I think him kind of disappearing for a little bit isn't the worst thing, because they'd already kind of really killed his heat with that, you know, Kane feud. So, you know, having him disappear for a little bit, I think absence will make the heart grow fonder.
Yeah, I hope you're right. I mean, I just hope that he comes back, period, because these neck injuries there and these surgeries, like what happened to Edge and Austin, had to retire early. So I just hope this isn't the end for Daniel Bryan. Let's see what else we had tonight. We had they were teasing throughout the show about a return of a former WWE champion. And I'm trying to figure out how they put it. They, like, a social media can't remember how they put it exactly, like big star on social media. So it turned out The Miz was the one that came out, but it was a big swerve, and Jericho came back. So Jericho took out Miz, and then we had the Wyatts and just tear apart Chris Jericho. Ryan, I'll go to you on this one. The Wyatts versus Chris Jericho, are you looking forward to this? Do you think they're going to have some I see Jericho as probably the guy that's going to put over Bray Wyatt, but what do you think about this program between these guys?
I'm totally down with it, man. I mean, they need something to do. Jericho is a star maker in that audience career. Everyone he works with, he makes, you know, look great. So I'm totally down with it. I hope it's not, you know, too much Jericho just kind of like, you know, doing the Cena thing where he calls him Jimmy Buffett or whatever. But, you know, at this point, it doesn't really matter because, you know, Wyatt's already. He's already so over, but, yeah, just from a work standpoint, I'm totally into this feud.
From listening to Jericho on his podcast, he sounds like he's really big into the Wyatt, so I think that he probably was one that even suggested the program. How about you, Stro? Are you looking forward to this program?
I was just going to refer to that, actually, that Jericho has mentioned before about when he was down at NXT, the Wyatt, Bray Wyatt was one of the main guys he wanted to do something with in the ring. So, you know, the fact that now the Wyatts have attacked Jericho on his return, you know, it all makes sense, and I'm really looking forward to the rivalry there, and I think they can have some great matches together.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. This program is probably going to be pretty interesting. I like to see what they come up with. Also, Jericho mentioned on his podcast about wanting to work with Cesaro. That's another thing I wanted to bring up before the break. After WrestleMania, Cesaro was just red hot. He was doing these awesome spots in the ring with the spin, these big feats of strength. And then they put him with Paul Heyman. And at first, I was all for it because I love Paul Heyman. I love Cesaro. So this is two great tastes that must taste great together. But this hasn't been the case. In fact, I've kind of lost interest in these guys or them together. Ryan, I know you're a Cesaro fan and you're a Heyman fan. What are you thinking about these two guys together now? They've been together for about 3 months. How do you think it's been going?
It ain't worked at all, man. I mean, everybody wanted Cesaro to kind of turn face, and he was already kind of doing that, you know, just from, you know, winning the Battle Memorial. Just from an in-ring presence, people have been cheering for him. They wanted him to turn on, you know, swagger and all that. Then you have him join Heyman. You think, okay, well, you know, what's going to happen with this? Is he still going to be face, but with Heyman? And not really. And the main problem with him being with Heyman is not only does he not talk, but Heyman doesn't really talk about him either. Heyman just brings up Brock every time Heyman comes out. It's kind of like he's Curtis Axel all over again with Heyman. I mean, obviously not to that degree, but he's just like a second thought to almost every Heyman promo he cuts. It's all about, you know, he's the one that put the one in, you know, 21-1. And there's just very little mention of Cesaro. He's just kind of there, and we don't really have, you know, any kind of clue what his character is at this point. So, no, I haven't been crazy about this at all.
How about you, Stro? What are your thoughts about the Cesaro-Heyman pair-up? Are you kind of disappointed, too, or you think they have something in store for us or something?
That's a very good point that I mentioned earlier on about how Heyman keeps mentioning Brock over Cesaro every time in his introductions. And the fact that I think something's being built towards Brock's return to where, you know, what would happen when Brock returns, you know, with Cesaro along with Heyman, and see, there could be a potential story there behind that. So that should be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, Brock and Cesaro, that could be a good feud because both of them are freaky strong. Well, it's about 15 till the hour. We better take our break. When we come back, we'll talk about the return of AJ and Paige's heel turn. And, well, we'll be back after this short message.
Live from the In the Room studios located in the Net Carrier and Cloud, this is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Hey, everyone. It is your favorite knockout, Mickie James, and you're listening to the VOC Nation.
Hey there, hi there, ho there. Thanks for coming on down. It's Save Wrestling, the podcast, and the business making town. I am your award-winning hostess with the mostest, Shelly Funtime Martinez, and she is my co-host, Dazzling Danielle.
Woo! Hello out there.
And together we are the Martinez Girls. You finally did it. And you can join us here Monday, new time, 6 p.m. Eastern on the VOC Nation as we save wrestling together, Danielle. Fighting crime. Woo!
Hey guys, Brady Hicks here, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributing writer and the host of In the Room, TheBradyHicks.com, and for the first time ever, VOCNation.com. So happy to be part of the family. Join us each and every Tuesday night, 9, 8 Central, VOCNation.com, TheBradyHicks.com, myself, DJ, Derek McDonald, Ray Bogus, Anthony Sarlo, Kathy Fitz, breaking down all that's going on in wrestling today, and so much more.
RF Video is the world's leading distributor of pro wrestling merchandise and DVDs. They have over 5,000 wrestling titles to choose from your favorite wrestling promotions, WWE, TNA, ECW, and every wrestling promotion in between. RF Video is famous for their shoot interview series where they sit down with your favorite wrestlers from around the world, including the biggest names, Shawn Michaels, Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes, Terry Funk, just to name a few. RF Video has many other unique DVDs to offer, like their in-ring series, face-off DVDs, best-of DVDs with your favorite wrestlers from every promotion around the world. Check out their sister video on demand website, rfvideonow.com, or you can purchase any of RF Video's DVDs by going to rfvideo.com. Head there today.
The most polarizing personalities worldwide. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Looking for a DJ? Looking for someone to host your event? Then look no further. Philadelphia's hottest DJ and host, The Voice of Choice. The Voice of Choice has hosted the hottest events in the tri-state area. Book The Voice of Choice for all your karaoke, conventions, and parties. Go to www.vocnation.com for more information or email The Voice of Choice at voc@vocnation.com.
Are you getting lost in the cloud? Is technology moving too fast for you? Find your way at netcarrier.com. Ride the end cloud and soar above your competition.
This is Peggy Nova, your Candyland princess, and I want everyone to know that I love BLCNation.com.
Hey, how's it going? This is Amy Dumas, but you may know me as Lita. You're listening to the VOC Nation.
Hello and welcome back to Rubbed Raw, your Raw recap show here on VOC Nation. The number to call in is 855-VOC-RADIO. That's 855-862-7234. I'm Chris Fox, and I'm talking to Stro the Maestro of Wrestling and Ryan Mays from Compton After Dark. Let's talk about Paige. Paige came out, was doing a promo saying that, what was she saying? Like, people didn't think she deserved to be on the main roster, but she did. And, well, AJ returned after a few month absence, I think. She came back and did the same thing to Paige that she did to her, where she complimented her, then was praising her, and I guess trying to get Paige to give her a title match, and Paige wasn't going to give her a title match, but then the fans wanted it, so she gave it to her, and now we have AJ as the Divas champion, and Paige is the heel, looks like. Stro, what are your thoughts on this? Because Paige seems, she seemed very directionless lately, and just ever since she's debuted, like, last night's Divas match was really good. It's just, as a character, she seems kind of lost out there.
Well, it was interesting, role reversal tonight on Raw with her and the returning AJ and with the title change and all. But I believe this more of a heel Paige will be very interesting to see, kind of reminiscent of her time with NXT. You know, when the world was kind of like introduced to Paige. So we'll see what happens with that. And with AJ being the new champ, welcome back and, hope it's as successful as her last reign.
Yeah, when it happened, when it went down tonight, my first thought is, oh, crap, they're dropping the Paige experiment. They've lost faith in her already. But that may not be the case. Maybe they're turning her heel and let this be her second chance to get that direction that I was mentioned that was missing before. Ryan, what are your thoughts?
I mean, I kind of thought like you did, it just seemed like, oh boy, they're kind of done with Paige. Now, I'd heard, that they weren't too keen on her backstage. Like a lot of the NXT people they brought up, they weren't nuts about. So whenever she just kind of gotten beaten so quickly tonight, I was like, hey, we might not be seeing her too much again, but, they might let her do a heel run, see how that works out. I mean, AJ needs someone to feud against. So, I guess we'll just see.
Yeah, I can't think of really any other heel divas off the top of my head except for maybe Alicia Fox, but she already had a shot at the pay-per-view before this one. And the Funkadactyls are going to be feuding with each other. Speaking of NXT call-ups that who was Kevin Dunn that I heard backstage wasn't too keen on, was Adam Rose. Stro, did you see the Adam Rose Twisted Tea commercial with Santino they kind of did backstage?
Yes, I sure did. Yeah, that was pretty interesting. A little plug there.
Yeah, that seemed to come out of nowhere. Santino's just sitting around backstage upset that nobody came to his party. Then Adam Rose and his Rosebuds show up with Twisted Tea, and it became a big commercial for Twisted Tea, so I guess they're a sponsor of Raw now. Maybe Adam Rose can start coming out with Twisted Tea like X-Pac did with that Hanson's Energy drink about 10 years ago.
Dude, they're drinking booze, man. The Attitude Era is back, Jack.
Yeah, they're hawking alcoholic drinks here on this PG Raw, so I don't know what's going on. Let's see. Oh, well, also we have we're going to have a battle royal at Battleground for the Intercontinental Championship since Bad News Barrett, I think he injured his shoulder. I think that was the case. Jack Swagger did to him on SmackDown last week. So he's supposed to be out for some months also, so that sucks. because they were getting behind him, and I was looking forward to see where that was going. But looks like we're now going to have a battle royal. I don't know all the participants yet. We have a – I know we have Damian Sandow is going to be in it. We have the Great Khali, and we have Cesaro. I'm not sure. Ed Stroh, was there anybody else announced? Am I missing anybody?
That's all I recognized and recollect so far that they announced.
Yeah. What do you think they're doing with Damian Sandow? I mean, just every week he comes out as another character. Tonight he came out as Vince McMahon. And I don't know, he riled up Stephanie, so she gave him the Great Khali as punishment for us and him. Ryan, what do you think about Damian Sandow's gimmick of just random goofy characters every week?
I mean, it can be kind of amusing. So, I guess, it is what it is. Didn't Charlie Haas do that for a minute before he left years ago? It seems kind of familiar.
Big Show did too, actually.
Yeah, it seems like every so often they'll give a gimmick to somebody where they just come out as wacky characters. I remember Big Show and Charlie Haas both coming out and portraying, like, other wrestlers. Like, I think Big Show did Hulk Hogan and Rikishi and other things like that. Well, the main event tonight was Kane and Orton versus Cena and Reigns. Cena and Orton won via DQ because Kane used the 500-pound ring steps, and he tombstoned Cena, and Cena was unconscious. They were playing it up like he was injured badly, and Seth Rollins came out to cash in the Money in the Bank briefcase, but Dean Ambrose stopped him. Dean Ambrose, early in the show, promised that he was going to be stopping Seth Rollins every time he attempts with the briefcase. So I'm looking forward to this feud between Ambrose and Rollins. How about you, Stro? What do you see here?
Oh, I think these two could have a tremendous feud. I mean, you got a great rivalry stemming from their days with the Shield, and you know the new push of Seth Rollins and the whole crazy demeanor of Dean Ambrose. It should be pretty exciting.
Yeah, I agree. How about you, Ryan? How are you feeling with this Ambrose Rollins feud going on?
I'm totally down with it, man. And I love that the crowd is behind Ambrose because, you know, he was always my favorite member of the Shield anyway. It was funny to me that, like, the ref, like, was it the ref's first night at WWE? Because, like, Seth was trying to cash in the Money in the Bank and the ref was like, not happening. It's like, dude, don't you realize that's what this is for?
I don't know. I mean, he didn't look familiar to me, but I don't know if he was new or not. Maybe he replaced the ref that got released a couple weeks ago. But, the show ended with Triple H and Roman Reigns kind of having to stare down, and the fans were really into it. This was getting this is awesome chance. So maybe this is something they're going to be building towards maybe for SummerSlam, because I don't know who else they would have in store for Roman Reigns. So, Stro, how you feel about Triple H versus Roman Reigns?
You know, I think this feud with Triple H and Roman Reigns has been kind of building up for a bit real slowly. I know even the times when the Shield were together, Roman Reigns were referred to wanting to get back at Triple H. And even the interviews before that, he was talking about, you know, Triple H would be the one guy he'd want to spear. You know what I mean? So it's kind of building up to coming to an head eventually. And I think SummerSlam could be a possibility with those two.
Yeah, in fact, I didn't even really think about it until they had the stare down. It's like, okay, that makes sense. I mean, Roman Reigns isn't going to be in the title picture anytime soon. I hope they build up towards that later on. Ryan, how do you feel about Triple H versus Roman Reigns? You think that could be a good possible matchup?
I mean, it'll be all right, I guess. I'm not, like, super crazy about it just because, you know, we already kind of had that when the Shield went over Evolution like they did, so... You know, in a way, it feels a little redundant, but, you know, I don't know. They need to give Reigns something to do. So, Roman Triple H, you know, I guess I'm fine with that.
Yeah, but Triple H putting him over one-on-one, that can really help out the guy out. Well, it's midnight. That's pretty much what happened on Raw tonight. Like I said, we had a heel turn by Paige, the return of AJ, the return of The Miz, return of Jericho, and we set the matches for Battleground. Stro, what do you have to plug for us tonight?
Well, I return once again to WCW Retro on the VOC Nation Network, 9:30 Eastern Standard Time this Thursday with my co-host, Dan Colasiso. Sorry, I can't get tongue-tied to my last name. July 4th, I'm having lunch. Actually, July 3rd, I am signing autographs at the Superhero Bar and Grill in Wrightsboro, North Carolina. July 4th. I will be wrestling and signing autographs at the South Beach Bash in Southport, North Carolina for UPWA, and also wrestling for UPWA July 5th at the National Guard Army in Wilmington, North Carolina. And for all info, what's happening with movies, film, what have you, just go to my official website at www.thestro.com.
Cool, sounds good. Yeah, I was on the show last week with Dan, and I could not pronounce his last name, so he's just Dan whenever I'm hosting. So how about you, Ryan? What do you got to plug?
Check out Gotham After Dark Sunday nights, at 11:30 Eastern. Great guest. Dean's my boy. It's always good for a laugh. He's a great interviewer. So just check it out every Sunday night, Gotham After Dark. And follow me on Twitter at Barack Obama, twitter.com.
Well, I'll see you all next week.